Devil. I am the non-silver tongue devil. If you would turn in your Bibles to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And it is a wonderful day as we remember this Mother's Day and we honor our mothers. We thank you and remember you. Give honor to our mothers who are living and to those who have passed on. It's a tradition here at Reedsville Bible Chapel to have a Mother's Day message on Mother's Day. I'm going to give you a short history of the tradition of Mother's Day in the USA so that Steve would be pleased that we know something about traditions. The modern holiday of Mother's Day was first celebrated in 1908 when Anna Jarvis held a memorial for her mother at St. Andrew's Methodist Church in Grafton, West Virginia, which is just east of Clarksburg off of Interstate 79. Her campaign to make Mother's Day a recognized holiday in the United States began in 1905, the year that her mother, Ann Reeves Jarvis, died. Ann Jarvis had been a peace activist who cared for wounded soldiers on both sides of the American Civil War and created Mother's Day work clubs to address public health issues. Anna Jarvis wanted to honor her mother by continuing the work she started and to set aside a day to honor all mothers because she believed that they were, quote, the person who has done more for you than anyone in the world, unquote. Well, that might have been a thought about her mother, but who was it who has done the most, what person has done the most for us than any other person in the world? The Lord Jesus Christ. And isn't it interesting that it was God's idea first to honor mothers in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 in the Ten Commandments, he says, honor your father and mother, that it would go well with you. In 1908, the U.S. Congress rejected a proposal to make Mother's Day an official holiday, joking, as politicians do, that they would have to proclaim also a Mothers-in-Law Day. So they pushed the issue out of the way, like a good politician. However, in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson signed a proclamation designating Mother's Day, held on the second Sunday in May, as a national holiday to honor all mothers. And so you have the tradition and history of Mother's Day in the United States. The message this morning is how women can have a godly legacy. And we're reading this from Titus chapter 2. We're going to read the whole chapter and then look at the highlights regarding older women and the younger women. Chapter 2 of Titus. But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. Urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith so that they will adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Blessed be the reading of God's word. Paul wrote his fellow worker in the gospel, Titus, on the island of Crete, and gave him instructions that Titus might, chapter 1, verse 5, set in order the things that are wanting. In other words, Titus was to continue the work in Crete by setting straight, making correct certain doctrines and teaching and practices and behaviors that had become unstraight, defective, or incorrect. Titus had a chiropractic ministry to make straight doctrines and behaviors that had gone crooked on Crete. Now, Paul instructed him with two methods. He instructed Titus first to deal with the leadership on Crete. He said, first, preach the word, chapter 1, verse 3. Number two, he said, appoint elders in chapter 1, verse 5. And thirdly, he said, silence the false teachers, chapter 1, verse 10 through 11. So that was the first method, to instruct and deal with leadership. But the second part of the method, Titus was instructed to deal with the body of believers, the assemblies of believers on Crete, chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. So in contrast to the false teachers, Titus was to teach those things which belong, which become sound doctrine, which become healthy teaching. What is healthy doctrine? What is sound doctrine? Biblical truth, the Word of God. And why is Titus to speak these things which become sound doctrine? Well, Paul gives four purposes in this chapter 2. Look at verse 4. That the older women might teach the younger women. Verse 5. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Verse 8. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Or as in the NSAB, that the opponents, the false teachers, may be put to shame, have nothing bad to say about us. And in verse 10, that they may adorn the doctrine of Christ our Savior in all things. That is, that the people in Crete, the believers there, might make the message of the gospel of Christ attractive in all that they do and say to an unbelieving world. Titus was to speak the things which become sound doctrine, or in their NAS, which were fitting to healthy teaching. He was to speak. It was a command to continually speak in ordinary daily conversation about things consistent with sound doctrine, with biblical truth, things which were fitting to healthy teaching. Now, fitting gives us the idea of something being prominent, conspicuous, having a distinguishing characteristic, appropriate, seemly. But I'm going to give you some illustrations here. And young man, you're going to help me. I'm going to say the name of an animal, and you think immediately, by hand, put up your hand, as to what you immediately think of when you think of this animal. Peacock. Hand up. All right, anybody. Feathers. Tail feathers. Tiger. Stripes. All right, guys. Come on. You can speak. You got mouths. Rooster. Tail feathers. What else? Loud. What else? Crow. All right. Thanks for your help. Christian. Christ-like behavior when you think of a Christian. So Paul commands Titus to teach those things which are fitting to sound doctrine, those things which are fitting to biblical truth, practical instruction for living based on biblical truth, fitting to sound doctrine. Now, he directs this teaching to five specific groups here in Titus. He's to speak to the older men, to the older women, to the younger women, to the younger men, and to bond slaves. For the purpose of this Mother's Day's message, we're limiting ourselves to the older and younger women. Chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. And here's what the instruction is. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. So the instruction here from Paul to Titus was to the older women likewise to be reverent in their behavior. Older women, what a minefield for me to walk in. But Paul rescues me. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 9. And this is what Paul writes there. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old. In other words, let not a widow under 60 years be put on the benevolence list. So there's some indication there that once a woman was widowed before age 60, she was to care for her own needs, she was to remarry, she was to continue to make her own way. But once she was 60 years or older, if need be, she could be put on the benevolence list that the church could take care of her. Now, the other thing here is that the childbearing years are primarily end around 40 to 45 years, and the child-rearing years end around age 60, 65. So we can kind of deduce that by older women, Titus is speaking here to women who are 60 years or more old and have finished raising their families and now have more time and opportunity to help and to teach others. So he speaks to the older women, likewise, just as he spoke to the older men, to exhort them, to urge them in two positives and two negatives. And we'll see the value of these in a moment. The first positive is in the continuation of that verse 3. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, that they be in behavior as become holiness. The NIV, to be reverent in the way they live, to live in a manner appropriate to godliness. You know, I read those verses and I think of other women in the scriptures. Hannah, Samuel's mother in 1 Samuel chapter 1. The prophetess Anna in Luke chapter 2, verses 37 through 38. Mary, the mother of Jesus, in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 49. And what Paul writes about women and how to there adorn themselves with reverent behavior, 1 Timothy 2, 9 through 12. Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather of good works, as it is proper for women making a claim of godliness. A woman must receive instruction with entire submissiveness, but I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over man, but to remain quiet. You notice those things that point to a godliness and a reverence, a holiness, good works. Quietly receiving instruction with entire submissiveness, remaining quiet. And I think of Sarah in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. Again, speaking of the adornment of godliness. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair, the wearing of gold jewelry, or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. What's precious? A gentle and a quiet spirit. For in this way, in the former days, the holy men also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves. They made themselves beautiful. They ornamented themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you have become her children if you do what is right, without being frightened by any fear. So, Titus was to teach the women to be reverent in their behavior, to live in a manner appropriate to godliness, to adorn themselves with good works, a gentle and quiet spirit, quietly receiving instruction with entire submissiveness, submissive to their own husbands, doing what is right. That's one of the positives. Now, the second one is a negative. Not malicious gossips. The older women were to not be malicious gossips, that is, slanderers, false accusers. Older women are not to be originating, picking up, or spreading untrue rumors about other people. Such malicious gossip is devastating to the health of an assembly and to its testimony to the local community. It destroys another person's character while also damaging that of the gossiper. Others will follow the gossiper's lead. So the instruction with malicious gossip for the older women and for each one of us: don't start it. Don't listen to it. Don't disseminate it. Rebuke the person who does it. The third admonition, and this is the second negative: nor enslaved to much wine, not given to much wine, not a wine bibber, a tippler, a drunk, one who's in bondage to alcohol, to be held or controlled by one against one's will. Such drunkenness, like malicious gossip, dishonors the Lord's name and blasphemes the assembly and other believers and tempts others to follow in their steps. Other people are tempted to imbibe, weaker brothers, sisters, and children. Now, why does he make this instruction to older women? Well, they've raised their families. They've got time on their hands. They don't have as much time to keep them busy. And so it's much easier to start to become a busybody or to turn to alcohol as an escape. And in our time, it's not just alcohol, but the abuse of medications and street drugs. Heroin and narcotic overdose has become a major cause of death in the United States. I'm going to give you a practical application for you here. If you have a problem with alcohol or drugs, admit it and get help. If you've never used alcohol or street drugs, don't start. You can't become an alcoholic or a street junkie if you've never used it. If you are on medications, use them properly. Here's an important reminder: narcotics are not for chronic pain. If you have a pain condition longer than 3 months, go to a pain clinic. Not your GP, not the orthopedist, not the neurosurgeon, not the ER. Get help from a pain professional. So that's our first three admonitions, two of them being negative, but then we have the fourth one: teaching what is good, teachers of good things. Older women need to instruct others in what is noble, excellent, virtuous, praiseworthy, that which is holy and godly. The older women have had practice in teaching their own children, children of relatives, neighbor children, and the children in the assembly. Here we see in the latter part of verse 4, the first purpose for which Titus is to speak these things which become sound doctrine, which are fitting to healthy teaching, that the older women might encourage and teach younger women, to encourage them, to inspire them with hope, to give them courage or confidence to support the younger women. This is an important ministry of the older women to the younger women in the assembly, as it assists the younger women to grow in godliness. Do I have an amen? Amen. The older women are to encourage the younger women in their walk with the Lord. As the younger women encounter the daily difficulty of dealing with the daily demands of raising a family and loving their husband and children. Now, I kind of sat down as I was sitting in the assembly this morning and just thinking about the names of the women, the older women, who have so contributed to the younger women, teaching them here in the assembly. And I used the word, the title, Miss Ann, Rusty City. I observed him so many times when I was a Yankee coming down to Reedsville, and Rusty showing honor to women by calling them, referring to them as Miss, even when they were Misses. So I've kind of developed that habit. So we have Miss Ann, we have Miss Kim, we have Miss Loretta, we have Miss Lois, we have Miss Jan, we have Miss Beth, we have Miss Marilyn, we have Miss Ellen, we have Miss Karen, we have Miss Jewel, we have Miss Bonnie. We love you and we appreciate you and the things that you do at the chapel. Now, here at Reedsville Bible Chapel, things have kind of spilled down a little bit too, because it's not just the older women ministering to the younger women, but we've had younger women ministering to even younger women. And so we have the Keepers of the Home Ministry with Ruthie and Della and those others who are involved with that, teaching our young ladies scripture, teaching them how to manage a household, how to do things that are required of a wife. We have Tanya and her girls' Bible study. We have Amanda and her ladies' Bible study. And we have the ladies working one-on-one with one another in discipleship and encouraging them as they need encouragement. So Titus is to encourage the older women to encourage the younger women to do six things. To love their husbands and to love their children. Some of us husbands can be pretty testy at times. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so can the children. Amen. Now, love is a willful, determined act to sacrificially give of oneself for the sake of others. Christ offered himself for lost sinners. Love is not based on the worthiness of the one to whom the actions are directed, but obedience to the command of the Lord Jesus Christ and following his example. He washed the disciples' feet. He died on the cross for us. Love involves sacrificial giving for the Lord's sake, and not for the sake or the appreciation of returned love or the returned favor of the husband or the children. The command is to love their husbands and to love their children. No conditions, no exceptions. The corollary to this, that is, not loving your husband and your children is a sin. Wow. John 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you don't love me, you don't keep my commandments. John 14:21. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. Who has my commandments and does not keep them hates me, does not love me. The older women are to encourage the younger women to love their husbands and to love their children, caring for their needs, physical, social, moral, and spiritual, not because their husbands and children deserve it, but because God commands it. What a challenge to women. But it's a wake-up call for us husbands as well, isn't it? Because husbands are to love their wives, not because they deserve it, but because God commands it, Ephesians 5:25. And it's a wake-up call to children to obey their father and mother, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Ephesians 6, verses 1 and 2. And it's interesting that in that obedience, the wife to the husband to the wife, the children to the parents, that God will honor him who honor Christ with their obedience. 1 Samuel 2:30. The second command here is to encourage the younger women to be sensible, sober, discreet, learning to exercise discernment and good judgment, self-control, command of one's mind, controlling what one thinks and what one does. To have the Holy Spirit exercising control over us rather than our own selfish flesh controlling us. To be sensible, to be controlled by the Spirit, one avoids being immoral, trivial, foolish, unproductive, and contrary to the Holy Spirit. To encourage younger women to be sensible, sober. The third one, encourage younger women to be pure, chaste, sexually clean in thought and act, marital faithfulness. We go back to that verse from 1 Timothy 2:19. Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly. Modestly means dressing in a way that will not cause a man to lust. Is it too tight? Too much chest? Too much thigh? Discreetly means dressing in a way that does not embellish your own passions. So when you dress, ask yourself, young ladies, why am I dressing this way? What is my motivation? And Peter, we'll not go there. The next one is to encourage the younger women. Number four, to be workers at home, making a good homemaker, being a good homemaker, following a budget. Cleaning house and laundering clothes, having an orderly house, preparing meals, clothing her children, spending time with her husband and children, proper time management for activities in the home, at church, at work, volunteering and serving. The home is where the married woman will find contentment, satisfaction, fulfillment as a Christian woman, wife, and mother. Even the single woman has a vacation for the Lord's sake. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8. But I say to the unmarried and the widows that it is good for them to remain as I. Verse 34. The woman who is unmarried and the virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy in body and spirit. Verse 35. This I say for your own benefit, not to put a restraint upon you, but to promote what is appropriate and to secure undistracted devotion to the Lord. For the Lord's sake, being able to serve Him because they're not encumbered by marriage or family. We have the fifth one. Encourage the younger women to be good, kind, that is to have sympathy, humaneness, interested in another's welfare, a disposition to being helpful, gentle, considerate, even to the unkind and undeserving. And this applies to each one of us. Every one of us is believers. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. The sixth item, encourage the younger women to be subject to their own husbands, obedient. Ephesians 5:22, verse 24. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. So just as Christ is the head of the church, and the church is subject to Christ, the husband is the head of the wife, and the wife is subject to her husband and his leadership. Therefore, the wife is to respect the leadership of her husband over her in the marriage and in the household. She's not a doormat. She's a helpmate. The wife is to willingly submit to the divine order of her husband, leading in the her husband's leading in the marriage and in the home. An interesting aside here. No other man has authority to tell her what she ought to be doing, either in her home or in her ministry to others. She is under the authority of her husband to guide her and to protect her. Why is she to be subject to her husband in everything? We see the second purpose here, that Titus is to speak the things which are fitting to sound doctrine, that the word of God not be dishonored, blasphemed, defamed, suffer no scandal. And it's a double negative, not dishonored, that the word of God not be dishonored. Therefore, it is honored. The God's word will be glorified. Interestingly, unbelievers judge the truth and power of God's word by the way we live. If a woman is disobedient and not subject to her husband, if she rebels against his authority as prescribed by the Lord, her behavior can frustrate a believing husband. Her behavior can undermine an unbelieving husband's receptivity to the gospel and cause him to mock God and the Bible. Her behavior can cause her children and unbelievers outside the home, neighbors, friends, acquaintances, to ridicule her faith, the church, the Lord, and the Bible is of being no effect. Her behavior can even undermine the faith of other believers in the assembly. But obedience to her husband may encourage the believing husband, may bring the unbelieving husband to Christ. Her behavior in a manner consistent with the Bible and Christian teaching may attract the unsaved to the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Finally, her obedient behavior will not cause others to stumble and fall, but will strengthen them in their faith and their confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Bible. Isn't that great to see that as the women exercise their obedience, they help others not to stumble and fall? God's word will be glorified by her obedient submission to her husband. We're coming to a close here. Every person is a sinner and separated from God, who alone is holy. Salvation, which brings forgiveness of sins and clothes us with the righteousness of Christ, whereby we are acceptable before God, can only be obtained by faith in the substitutionary death of Christ, who paid the penalty for our sins. Hopefully, as you observe the older and the younger women here at Reidsville Bible Chapel, you'll see a difference from the unbelieving world, and you'll also have a desire to partake in the salvation from sin offered by God. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, then today, admit that you're a sinner. Believe that Christ died for your sins, and confess Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our women, the older women, the young married women, the single women, the younger girls, and children. Thank you for making those who have received Jesus Christ as their Savior a part of your body here at this assembly called Reidsville Bible Chapel. We thank you for our mothers, for those who are still living, and those who have passed on to eternity. We honor them today. We pray, Lord, that you will strengthen our mothers and single women to be the women in Christ that you would have them to be in accordance with your word, and to bless their families. We pray that these mothers and single women might have an eternal legacy for the gospel of Christ. We pray, Father, for any unsaved here today or listening later by the internet or CD, that you would draw them to your only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for your glory. Amen.